clearly this morning the consistency of God, the eternal faithfulness of our God. And you know, if we're going to honor Him, we need to be as consistent as He is, amen, in what we are and who we are for Him. Children, you're free to go and get up there and worship God. Express your gratefulness and your praise to Him, amen. Praise His wonderful name. You know, you can take your seats. Today could be a day where we establish an altar. As Kerry said, you know, they built an altar. And at those altars, they honored God for who He was to them at the time and the expression of what He'd done. Remember that. Sometimes they think the altar was just there because God had done certain things, but He always revealed Himself in what He did. When He delivered, you know, when He healed, when He set people free, He was Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Tsidkenu, Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Raya, and all of the expressions of who He was came out in the acts that He did and the way He interacted with people, how He delivered them. And they built an altar. And as Kerry said, they passed by and there was that altar as a momentum of who God was and what He did. Sometimes we remember what God did, but we forget who He is. I don't know if you think that, but we do. We do. And it's important to have a full hold of who God is in all of that whole picture. God's amazing. I had no other way of expressing what I wanted to share today, but I put the caption on the message, why? Why? I'm going to go through a few whys and hopefully we get a few answers. But let's look at it. You know, anyone ever had the problem of buying a gift for someone that's got everything? You know? My family go nuts at me. We wanted to buy you this, but you went and bought it yourself. And we wanted to get this for you, and you bought it yourself. And they go cranky at me. So I stop buying things, and they still don't give me anything. No, not really. But you know, it's a difficult choice sometimes to give somebody something. And sometimes when I've said, Delek, what do you want for your birthday? She says, can I have you for a day, just to do things for me around the place. Wow. That's, you know, I could go out and buy her what all sorts of things, but that's not the treasure of her heart for the day. And doing so much like that is so different. And it's sometimes time is more valuable than an actual wrapped or purchased or bought present. And I really believe that that's the same with us when it comes to God. We've just sung about our God who is eternal. The God of David, the God of... We did it last week. You know, I love that song. We started off last week with, you know, the most amazing expression of who God is. And today we've got that song that expressed, I call on the God of David, I call on the God of... It threw me initially when I heard that song first, and the God of Mary, I thought, are we becoming, you know, Chrislam or Catholic? No, not really. But then I talked to God about that. You know, the God of Mary was the God she entrusted her life with. Let it be to me according to your word. Can we be that trusting with God? Can we put ourselves in His hands to such a degree when He challenges us, when He approaches us, when He speaks to us, when He puts His finger on things in our life, and we just turn around in surrender and say, Lord, not my will, but thine be done. Let it be according to your word. Wow. The God who is the same. He was a healer then, He's a healer now. He's a deliverer then, He's a deliverer now. We've got to get beyond sometimes what might be just a Bible story. Everyone knows the story of Samuel, but who was the God of Samuel? Everyone knows the story of Moses, but who was the God of Moses? Everyone knows the story of Jacob, but who was the God of Jacob? We need to get back to the why behind the event. Amen? And I really believe that's part of what we've got to grow into. God's taking us on an amazing journey over the last little while, and I'm totally taken back by the way God is dealing with his church now, and not just here, but in so many parts of the world. I'm hearing so much. You can't help but go onto Christian TV and see some of the normal quote stuff, but then you get into some nitty-gritty and they're telling you what God's saying. And they're telling you what God's doing. And you start to see that God has got a heart for his people across this planet in preparation for some great event that is yet to come, and I don't believe is too far away. There's a heart of God crying out for his people to come on board. To come on board. And if we want to resist that, we will be the losers. We need to be sold out and hearing what God is saying today. A couple of weeks ago, I spoke on a message on overcoming. And we need to be determined in our walk as overcomers. I am not going to put up with or let or allow or be or whatever it may be that has kept us back in our lives. We need to get the bit between our teeth and say, God, there is nothing that is going to stop me, prevent me, or hold me back from being everything you want me to be. And we need to get some guts in our Christianity. And if we don't, we'll get run down by the swarm of what goes on. You know, if our God is for us, who can ever stop us? We've got a clown running this state who wants to abolish Christianity. Well, I got news for him that in the name of Jesus, I nullify every thought that he's got. I nullify every intention that he's got, and I bring him down in the name of Jesus. Amen? Who can ever stop us? Worlds and governments and leaders have tried for years to stop God's people. But what's happened? The church is growing at the greatest rate today that it's ever grown. Man, it's so good. It's so, so, so good. Since God TV put their channel, their broadcasting base in Israel, and they can reach right through the Arab world. This year alone, they've had 180,000 dedications recorded from people just in Iraq. That's one TV station. Don't forget TBN's over there as well. And so are some of the others. But they have had 180,000 specific recorded contacts from Iraq this year of people surrendering to the Lord Jesus. Woo! Now they do it at a peril. They do it where it could cost them their life. They could do it where their life can be put on a chopping block. We take it too lightly, but they're so committed. They say, no, I've had enough of everything else. I want Jesus. Wow, they're calling on the God of Samuel and the God of Abraham. And they're finding out the God behind the why and the God behind the event. I think that is so incredible. And he is from everlasting to everlasting. And there are several scriptures there. Psalm 90, 103:17, 41:13, 106:48, 1 Chronicles 16:36. Isaiah 9:6, Jeremiah 10:10 talks about God being from everlasting to everlasting. He's always there. He's always been there and he always will be there. And we are his people. I can't believe that. It's so incredible that a God can be so good. It says in Haggai that everything belongs to him. The silver and the gold is mine. The earth is the Lord's and its fullness. What do we give somebody who has everything? He's there. He's always there. He always will be there. Our lives are but dust, perhaps, you know. But he's got it all. He's got it all. It tells us in scriptures, he sits back in the heavens and he sees creation and measures it by the span of his hand. And he goes, pretty good job out there, eh? You know, I love that. And he adores it and he loves it and he has never made anything that doesn't have a purpose, including you and me. But are we fitting that purpose? What do we give someone who's got everything? What is he expecting from us? Or are we just expecting from him? Now I know there's all the stuff Kerry brought up where body, soul and spirit, he restores my soul, but then he leads me in the paths of righteousness for what? His name's sake. That's his reputation. That declares his reputation, who he is. You want to have a restored soul? Start looking at what's expected then, to walk in paths of righteousness, because that's where he wants to lead you and enhance his reputation through who we are. Oh boy. We just sat an exam. How many passed? How's his reputation doing in your life and my life? That's a real down-to-earth thud reality check. Wow. Wow. Oh, Lord, we need to get on our knees and build an altar and repent. And we need to pass by that altar regularly. Oh, there's my altar of God's reputation. I can't afford to let that one slip. Wow. Come on, Jesus. We got a lot to do. And he is calling us in so many ways and wanting to prepare us for his glory, wanting to prepare us for what he has for this planet, wanting to get our hearts and lives and our everything about us in alignment with his purposes for this world. He's coming back for a bride without spot and wrinkle. How are we looking? I need a spiritual washing machine. Yeah. Yeah. But I think across this planet, God has had us in his washing machine for some time. And I believe that through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, the cleansing process that was done at Calvary has availed for us. The outworking is still where we need to be. And I think sometimes we're either still in the wash or we're in the tumble dryer and everything's in a... But we've got to get out and be hung to dry, straight and glorified. Amen? We do. We do. And sometimes I think we're a little bit thick and we resist and everything else seems to take priority. But when it comes to our God, he is from everlasting to everlasting. He is faithful from day one to day zero, or the zero to zero. It goes on forever. When you look at that, there's no beginning or no ending with God. He's just there. He's from everlasting to everlasting. And the amazing thing about that, he doesn't alter. He doesn't change. He says straight out, I am the Lord God in Malachi 3:6. I never change. I change not. I haven't got a fickle capacity in me. You know, he talks to man. He says, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. So one day we do things and we're committed, and the next day we're all over the place and, oh, I'm not sure about that anymore. You're just promoting instability. Imagine if God was what people are making him out to be. Well, that's changed. God's changed now. This is the 22nd century. God understands that we can be different to what we were some years ago, and God's moving on with evolution. I'm going, which God are you talking about? My God doesn't change. If he said a sin was a sin back then when he judged the earth, it's a sin now. Yes. Sodom and Gomorrah is a standard for God. We can't turn around and say, oh no, he's changed his mind now. Oh, God loves us. God's a God of love. He understands. He understands what? He understands that he died for us and we're too stupid to appropriate it. This is the world at the moment. It's lost. And even the church is becoming so fickle and changing the word of God and turning the truth of God into a lie as the word prophesied. We've got to remember that he is God, period. And that's it. He's the same as Jesus is the same. It says in Hebrews 13:8, yesterday, today, and forever. So let's settle the fact and the issue. And all of these people that want to alter the whole scenario and they get up and saying, we're going to be gods and the world's going to be our you know, in servitude to us. He who sits in the heavens will laugh at their evil thoughts. He said, do your best, stupid. I'm the God who never changes. I'm the God who never changes. We've got to get God in focus. We really, really, really do. Psalms 19:1, I love this. The heavens declare his glory. The heavens, a song we used to sing, the heavens shall declare the glory of the Lord. All creation bows at the coming of the King. Every eye shall see, every heart will know, every knee will bow, every tongue confess. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God. Wow. There's an expression out there in creation showing his glory, but people don't see it. They're too blind. I don't understand that. I can't look at the stars without getting blown away by what God's done. If you sat out there in the last few nights, you've got the moon sitting there and you've got Jupiter there and you've got Saturn there. Oh, I just get mesmerized that stuff. I look at it and I think, God, there's nothing compares to what your glory is showing. Nothing. And this, even this world speaks of his glory. And Ephesians chapter 3 verse 10, he's even made a purpose for the church, that by the church might be made known the manifold wisdom of God, declaring who God is. Man thinks he's smart. The world thinks they're on a trek of some sort to promote all this, you know, IT stuff, information, technology, and other bits and pieces. But God has the manifold wisdom. God's the only one that's got it. Man is just futile in what he does. So what can we give someone like our God who has everything? Look at that verse in Psalm 19:1. I've expounded it there. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day, are you listening? They pour forth speech. What an expression that's put in the word of God. They don't hold back on their expressing of who God is. This creation's telling a greater story than his church is. They're continuous about it. They pour forth speech night after night. They display knowledge. Wow. Well, if Ephesians 3:10 is to come to pass, that through the church might be known the manifold wisdom of God, what have we got to do or be or surrender to or allow to develop in our lives to give back to someone who has everything? He doesn't want our servitude or our actions. He just wants us. That's a greater gift, amen? An absolute greater gift. Let's look at creation for a minute. It has a history with God. Creation actually has a greater knowledge of existence than man does, I think, because the history that creation has with God is expressed in the scriptures in several places. Colossians 1:17, he is before all things. So creation was brought about later on. He was there beforehand. He is before all things, and by him all things, what? Consist. They're upheld, exist, they're maintained, and they remain because of him. He was there before creation. He made creation, and by him all things are held together. Constantly. Constantly. Nothing changes without God allowing it. Hebrews 1:3, he upholds all things, or fully supports and sustains all things. I want you to notice the expression here, because a lot of the modern translations say by the power of his word. That's a misdemeanor. That's a wrong expression, because it's expressed in the original. If you look at the way it's phrased, and although sometimes the phrasing put in the original scriptures, they have the words back to front to us because of the way the language was spoken, it actually is by the power of his word, not by the word of his power. The power of his word is God's expression of who he is. The word of his power, I mean, the power of his word is there for us to walk in. We take that word and operate in the power of his word. But God's expression in this instance, upholding all things by the word of his power, aligns with he was before all things, and by him all things consist. It's held together and upheld by the word of his power. Who's the word of his power? John chapter 1 expresses that completely clearly. In the beginning was what? The word. And the word was with God, and the word was God. And then it goes on in that scripture, and it says the same was in the beginning with God. So the word was always there. And then it says, in the beginning was the word was with God, and the word was God. And then it goes on and it says, and without him was nothing made that was made. So we've got to tie it in with history as far as God is concerned, and creation as far as we know it have got a massive union. It's virtually identical to the union that we have when we were born again and going to Calvary, where he instigated it and we became part and parcel of that. We were recreated beings, and we have an alliance with our Lord Jesus. Creation has an alliance with the word of his power. And that word sustains creation, and creation pours forth speech day and night. Night and day, constantly expressing the creator that made it. Do you understand that? You comprehend that? You see how creation has a history and an alliance with God that should be put into the shade by the alliance and history we have with God. But it shuts up, and we don't. It continually speaks, and we don't. We keep quiet. Ooh. Whoa. Isn't it incredible that creation has a greater voice than the recreated beings that we are and should have the greatest voice? Wow. You know, the power of his word upholds all things. And you can see back in Genesis how the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit were operative in creation. Quickly, we all know this. The heart and mind of the Father was creation. And that was there where chaos ruled on this planet. The earth was without form and chaotic, void. and darkness was on the face of the deep. And God had a heart for creation, and the Spirit of God knew that, and the Spirit of God hovered in preparedness, awaiting what? The spoken word. In the beginning was the Word, and without Him was not anything made that was made. So when the Word came forth, that was the expression of the heart of the Father through the Son, who was the Word, the Spirit of God hovering was ready to go into action, and boom, creation happened. And He said, light, or ore be, and ore, order, was in that chaos. It changed instantly because of God doing what He wanted to do. And you know, when you and I came to God in the beginning and we were in chaos and our lives were in that complete darkness, and we heard the Word of God and the Holy Spirit hovered in preparedness for us to say yes, and all of a sudden order came into chaos and took over. There's a parallel. I'm not going to preach it now. I did 18 months on it some time ago. I always promised myself I'd write a book, and that's my next aim, is to get that into written form where you can see the parallel of creation of the whole 7 days, taking a parallel picture into recreation of who we are in Christ Jesus. Incredible. It's incredible. Every facet of it has a picture-perfect balance and picture in that. So that gave us the creation history. So creation knows of its history with God. And if you read in Luke chapter 19, verse 37 to 40, when Jesus was out there near the Mount of Olives, and when He was come nigh, even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, blessed is He that comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees took umbrage at it. And they came out from the multitude to Jesus and said, Master, rebuke your disciples. They're making too much noise. Listen to them. They are making a lot of noise, and they've been praising the name of God. Keep them quiet. It's irreverent. Someone said to me the other day about somebody won't go to church because they found it boring. If church is boring, it's because you make it boring. We make it boring. I tell you what, if we're going to be church, we want to be like those disciples who saw Jesus, who was with Him, who walked with Him, who saw the amazingness of Him, and they couldn't keep quiet. And the religious knuckleheads of the day came along and said, Master, rebuke them, they're too noisy. And you get that somewhere today in the world where people, oh yes, I serve Jesus. Well, tell me about it. Make a noise. Oh, you can't do that. That's irreverent. Well, that's not. Because creation's crying out. Creation's making a noise. You know, this is where Jesus said, He answered and said to them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. Now, over the years, I've had the picture of the stones crying out and replacing us in praise. But last week when I spoke and I mentioned the fact that creation was groaning and travailing, if creation is going to groan out or cry out, it's if men do not praise the Lord, the very stones would cry out. Is it in praise or is it in anguish? Think about that. Will it be if the church goes quiet? Don't forget, creation pours forth speech day and night, declaring who God is. But if there's no expression from the very creation that is made in the image of God, we are going to see what's going on in the world today, that the earth is groaning and travailing in pain, right as it is right now, with so much going on, with everything happening around this planet, because there's a silence in the church, not declaring God's glory, and the whole of this planet is going, and we have earthquakes in diverse places, and we have all sorts of things, you know. The Bible says the love of many would wax cold. Are we seeing that today? Are we seeing a lack of expression and a lack of freedom? You know, we teach our kids to pray. And I'm feeling very guilty now because I taught my kids to pray, Lord God, thank you for everything and bless mummy and daddy and da da da. Why shouldn't I have taught them, Lord, I want to praise your name tonight. I want to worship you. I want to give you glory. Now we're seeing it in church, but I think as parents, let's start to retrain our kids in praise and worship. Let's get an expression going. Let's get a praise going. I love it when Aloysius from India rings me up. And I'll go, hi, Ken speaking. Praise the Lord, brother. Nothing else. That's his only expression. And when I say, okay, I'll see you later. Praise the Lord, brother. And I'm like, I've got a lot to learn from this guy. That's his opening statement. You ring him up. And when he answers the phone, praise the Lord. That's all he says. He doesn't say, hello, Aloysius speaking. He comes up with an expression of glory to God. And I'm like, I feel so embarrassed. You know, you should ring him up sometime. I'll give you his number. That's all you're going to get is, praise the Lord, brother. And they'll ring up and he'll ask how everybody is. How is Sister Carol and how is Auntie? Auntie's Lexi. And how is this one and how's that one? And he's got all the names there. And then he talks about my animals. And how is Bully? Praise the Lord. And you tell him how good everybody is and how things are going. And he'll go, praise the Lord, brother. And he'll send me all these little expressions and little picture poster things that I don't know where he gets them from. And they're all to do with worshiping and exalting God. And I'm like, wow, a lot to learn from this guy. His expressions of praise are what we need to walk in, develop in, grow in, and overcome everything else in, and give him the expressions that declare who he is and enhance his reputation through our lives. His reputation is at stake if we zip our lip. His reputation goes nowhere if we're not enhancing it. The creation is groaning and travailing, awaiting for us to declare and give this world God's reputation in manifested declaration. Wow. Boy, I tell you what, God is definitely on the move. God is definitely shaking up his church. And I think we are seeing so much of the church across the planet now becoming what the Bible talks about, you're wise and you're foolish. Let's be quiet. Let's make more noise. I really think we need to get into a situation where we say, God, what is it that my life needs to change in order to enhance your reputation in me? I want to be fully prepared. Why? Because the Bible says when Jesus comes, he comes for his bride has what? Made herself ready. Is the bride ready? You know why the bride has to be ready? Because the Bible says this too. It says he comes as a thief in the night. A thief only catches people who are not ready. Think about that. He ain't going to come as a thief in the night for me because I'm going to know. And I'm going to be prepared and ready because the Spirit and the bride say, come, come. Whoa! I'm telling you, if there's a shaking going on, it's going on now. And I don't want to be part of the love of many who wax cold. I want to get a little bit hotter. I want to get a little bit warmer. I want to get a little bit more noisy. I want to get a little bit more expressive. And I want God's life to be a life in me that enhances and shows who he is and gives him a reputation that he deserves. Oh, I tell you what. No stone's going to cry and groan because I've kept my mouth shut. We are the key to preventing creation groaning and travailing in pain and crying out in anguish. And that voice today is speaking louder than ever, both in the natural world and in the human world. You've got the human people that are just crying out, not knowing why, where, and how, and whatever. And unfortunately, they're looking in all the wrong places because they're being put off by some of the nonsense that's been going on around this planet. We need to stand up. And when the enemy has coming in like a flood, we need to be so strong we raise a standard against him and say, enough is enough. Stop in Jesus' name. That name Jesus. Get into that name Jesus. I was going to preach on that, but I got sidetracked with this. The Lord sort of took me this way. If we are going to be a manifested declaration of the power of God and give his reputation what it deserves, we've got a bit to do in our own corrective life, in repenting and getting before him and building an altar that we can stand and remind ourselves of constantly. That's it. And then the authority of that name, Jesus. Ooh. Are you ready for that? You think you can handle it? Because that's a promise in the Word. Whatsoever you ask in my name, it shall be. Ooh, boy. I think that would flatten and floor some of us. But I'm at the stage now that when I pray, I have a greater level of expectation now because I'm praying according to his word. I'm starting to realize what his will is. I'm starting to declare my faith in situations like I never have before. And I know this for a fact, that God is who he says he is, and his faithfulness is from everlasting to everlasting. And I'm not shirking down because of any other reason other than I'm standing up for my God. I'm standing up for my God. Nothing is worth it. If this creation will pour forth speech day and night and declare who God is, what are we going to do? What can we give someone who has everything? A devotion, time, attention, and in loud declaration, allow the sons of God, the church of God, the children of God to be fully manifested. Because his reputation depends on it. Amen? Amen. Father, I just believe for your word today to be a challenge to us. That, Lord, as your spirit's moving, as you're reaching out across this planet now to get your bride into preparation, your church in preparation, Lord God, we stand in repentance for the areas we have not surrendered fully to you, for the areas where we've failed you, for the areas, Lord God, where perhaps we've just been ignorant or stubborn or whatever it might be. But Father, I pray today in the name of Jesus that as your spirit leads and guides and teaches and corrects us, that our heart will be a heart of commitment to you. That the altar we build, Lord God, will be an altar in our lives that enhances your reputation wherever we are, wherever we go, whatever we do, that, Father, we must be aware of a conscious awareness of it, that our lives are enhancing your reputation or ruining your reputation. And so, God, we want it to be the first. Holy Spirit, I give you license in my life now to just completely bring about whatever's necessary. Whatever direction or correction it takes to enhance the reputation of my God. And I pray that for each person in this place, that that would be the cry of every heart, to see your name glorified. And we won't shut up, Lord. We're not going to let a stone groan because we've kept quiet. We're going to see the stones rejoicing and pouring forth speech day and night, declaring the manifested glory of God in Jesus' name. Amen. Is he worth it or what? He certainly is. He's there from everlasting to everlasting. Amen. I've gone over time again, so I'm sacked again, but never mind. My boss used to say to me when I was a kid at work, how many times that you been sacked this week? Always getting over the boundaries somewhere, but It's so good when you're with God. It's exciting. We need to hear his voice continually, amen, and express that praise in our lives. And I pray for all of you, every one of you, what I just prayed for myself. Holy Spirit, come. Let my life enhance who you are and your reputation in and through me. I don't want to be anything less. In Jesus' name. Let's go. Let's do it. Let's be God's people to this planet. Amen. Glory to God.